The newest weekday voice on Channel 110. This is the Maggie Linton Show on Sirius XM Urban View.
Welcome back to the Maggie Linton Show. Well, I've got people I know coming up. I first met my next guest over a year ago at Book Expo America in New York. If you've ever bought a bottle of wine with a foot on the label, then you have drunk their product. Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan are the co-founders of Barefoot Cellars Winery, and they relied on worthy cause marketing rather than conventional marketing practices, and Barefoot eventually became one of the top wine cellars in the nation. Michael served as CEO and president of Barefoot for 19 years. Now he works as a guest lecturer at a seminar and a webinar leader and a contributor to several business publications. And Bonnie was vice president of Barefoot Wine for 19 years. In 2005, they sold the company and eventually co-authored the best-selling The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. And now Bonnie spends her time helping nonprofits improve their image and increase donations. Thanks, both of you. And by the way, it's her foot you see on the bottle. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Maggie. It is so nice to be back with you again.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Maggie. It's great to be back.
Hi, Michael. I have to tell you, one of the first things I asked you was, whose foot is that? And Bonnie says, mine. And so it was great. And, you know, when you pointed out right from the very beginning, if you think about it, you never saw us advertise anywhere. And when you think of the millions of dollars that are used to raise a brand, let's talk about where you got the idea for doing what we call worthy cause marketing. Michael, let's begin with you.
Well, you know, when you sell a product, obviously the buyer of the product wants to know if you're going to do any advertising. He doesn't want to give you some precious retail space that he's paying for, whether or not your product sells. He wants your product to sell. And he's going to say to you, look, I'll take your product, but if it doesn't sell in 30 days, you're out of here and you're never coming back. So we just got started. We didn't have any money. And, you know, here we're being asked by a major chain store that wants to take our product in California to do some major advertising. And they suggest a couple $100,000. And we thought, well, we don't have $1,000. So, you know, we were feeling pretty down about that. And so he asked us, you know, he said, well, you know, you can always go out and try to sell it to the mama papas and the grocery stores and the little accounts, you know, and just stay out of the chains until you're a household word. We said, okay. So we hit the bricks and we started selling store by store. And those people had the same issue. They said, you know, if you don't advertise this, if people don't come in here and buy this brand, we're going to discontinue it and you'll never come back. About that time, we got a telephone call from a neighborhood group in Chinatown in San Francisco. Very dense population, you know, and they're trying to raise money for a tot lot for kids after school for their neighborhood association. And they called up and they said, oh, you know, you guys are wealthy winery owners. We think you should write us a check. We said, you know, we're not wealthy winery owners. You know, we can hardly sell this stuff. But what we will do is we'll give you wine for your fundraiser and help you out that way. And they said, sure, we'll take whatever you got. So we did. 2 or 3 weeks later, we noticed there was a big spike in the sales in the Chinatown stores where we had placed Barefoot Wine. And we said, wait a second. You mean to say that you can give neighborhood organizations a social reason to buy your product without advertising? And that's where we got the idea for worthy cause marketing.
All right, Bonnie. And from there, you organizations really found out about you and helped you, didn't they?
Yes, they certainly did. We gave their membership a social reason to buy our product, but more than just giving them wine, we also went in and we helped them set up, we helped them tear down, and we also got their message into the marketplace by putting signs on the necks of our bottles about what their cause was, and to ask the consumers, the people who were buying our product, to support their cause. So we were able to get their message into the marketplace where they were unable to do that.
I will tell you folks that the Barefoot Spirit has been on the New York Times business bestseller top 10 list for 8 weeks straight. And so they know what they're talking about. And we're talking about wine, but this will work for so many different businesses, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's not really a story that is prescriptive text like a lot of business books. It's a fun business adventure story. Mm-hmm. And the lessons that we learned from hardships and hard knocks that we took growing our business. And very much any small company, any small business owner, any entrepreneur that's thinking about starting a business will have the same challenges. And they can see by reading the book how we overcame them.
All right. If you have any questions or comments, you're looking for your business and it's not doing that well, then this may be a way for you not to necessarily spend your PR dollars in that way. The number to call, if you've got questions, 866-801-8255. Once again, that's 866-801-8255. The other thing that's so important is a lot of times, what you do, not only, I mean, it's not just a lot of times, but what this business does is also become very involved within their community, too. And that within itself lends support and brand recognition.
Exactly. I think it's important for businesses that produce products or offer services to stand for more than the product or service that they're offering. Get beyond the mercantile and start to think in terms of your community. You have to remember, the person who buys your product or service has interests. And those interests, they might be kids after school, it might be clean water, it might be civil rights. It's a lot of different things, health. Find out what's important to them. Become a team player in those organizations. Don't just write them a check. We didn't have the money. But we could help them. And because we helped them, when they had a choice between buying five or six of the same kind of products, they consistently chose the product that was produced by their team member.
And also helped their group to succeed.
I think that's what we're the most proud about. You know, we built the business up to 600,000 cases a year in 50 states and 28 foreign countries and sold it to the largest wine company in the world. And people say, well, you know, what are you proud of? It's really all the organizations that we helped with clean water, education, health, you name it, civil rights. Those kinds of issues are things that Bonnie and I cared about even before we got into business. And we were so delighted that we discovered a way to take our heartfelt causes into the marketplace and not compromise and be able to make a difference in the world and not just produce a great bottle of wine at a reasonable price.
And they are reasonably priced.
Yeah, pretty reasonable.
That's the other thing that was success. Bonnie, talk about how you decided to put your foot on the bottle, because that's a pretty cute story too.
Well, it was kind of funny. We didn't know anything about the industry when we began. So when it came time to design the label, Michael went out and asked a buyer, and he gave him some great information. He said, Michael said, you know, I've got wine, I've got bottling services, and I've got to come up with a label. What is it that you want? And the buyer said, now here's a good lesson. Nobody ever asked me that before. So I'm going to tell you. And he told us that he wanted a product that the average consumer could pronounce and remember. He wanted a logo and a name that was the same. And he wanted it to be visible from 4 feet away when she, the female shopper in the supermarket, pushed her cart down the aisle. So barefoot was the way that grapes were originally crushed to make wine. So we decided to use that label or that name, and I gave some ideas, some rough drafts to an artist in Hollywood, and she kept coming back with some samples that were awkward looking. It wasn't what I wanted, and she said, well, what is it that you want? I need to know. I said, I want a longer foot, more slender, and something with a higher arch. And she said, well, you're going to have to send me a picture because that's the way I work. I said, well, you know, I've got one of those right here on the end of my leg. So I sent Michael out to get the biggest ink pad he could find and some artist paper, and I put my foot in the ink pad and onto the artist paper and sent it off to Lori LeBoy in Hollywood, and she created the ideal label for us, and that's the label that's still being used.
And it is truly a recognized name brand. One of the things that you just mentioned, though, was having a name that people can remember. Not making it complicated is one of the hardest things that some people never learn.
Well, you know, the wine industry was pretty stuffy in the mid-80s when we started. And there were too many labels out there that I could not pronounce. I was intimidated by wines. I don't speak French, and I thought wines should be friendlier and more approachable. And so there was nothing on our label that was in French, and there was nothing on there that you couldn't pronounce. It was fun, it was easy to love, and it was the first fun wine label in the marketplace.
And the other thing is, as you help other business owners, what are some of the keys that you tell them?
I think the biggest lesson that we learned that we like to pass on is, you know, just because you like it and just because all your friends like it and just because it looks great on your computer screen and just because the general public likes your product and just because the price is very reasonable and the quality is extremely high and just because somebody from the NFL is endorsing it doesn't mean it's going to sell, because it's not about those issues. It's about distribution management, which is not as much fun as, say, the wine business or, you know, being a rocket scientist or whatever you think you are. It's more about if your product isn't there, they can't buy it. So how does it get from your production company to the customer? And that's where most products get lost. They get lost in the trucking, the warehouse, the laws, the supermarkets, the inputted numbers that are used in coding. There are hundreds of ways that your product can fail before it gets to the shelf. So when you read our book, The Barefoot Spirit, I guarantee you and your customers, I mean, I should say your customers, I'm in the wine business again, yeah, but your listeners, that they'll never look at a bottle of wine or, for that matter, any product on the shelf differently. They'll have much more respect. They'll say, oh my gosh, here's an idea that's good, it's affordable, and it's here, it's in my face. I can buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about how many never made it there.
Once again, we're talking with the co-founders of Barefoot Winery, Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan. One of the things you're in New York for is to speak to disabled vets at the Entrepreneurial Boot Camp for Disabled Vets, and it's at Syracuse University this weekend. Talk about that event also.
Yes, we're very excited about that, Maggie. We love to share our knowledge with students of entrepreneurship, and we know that we have something unique to offer in our experience, and we love to share that with students. We've been talking throughout the nation to various universities, students of entrepreneurship and business, and we are just really looking forward to talking to the disabled vets. They've given so much of themselves to help our country, and this is just a small way that we can give back.
And are the vets being set up in business, or how does it work, or do you know?
There is a program that was actually funded by a wealthy entrepreneur who is a former vet who decided that he wanted to create this entrepreneurial boot camp for disabled veterans. So he went to five or seven universities around the United States, including Stanford and what have you, and said, listen, you guys give us the space, and we will bring in the professors and the guest speakers and the entrepreneurs who are success to share their success with your students in your venue. And so this is where it started, right here in New York at Syracuse University, and it's now spreading throughout the United States. And actually, in the fall, we're going to be going to a convention of the folks that are running all of these various different satellite operations to talk to them about speaking to their students in each one of those venues. So we're very excited. You know, vets are, especially disabled vets, having been through it, having actually built a brand from nothing, starting in our laundry room with no money and no knowledge of the industry, I got to tell you, these people have what it takes. They got guts. They've proven that. They've got tenacity. They've proven that. And the country they fought for, the United States of America, has more opportunity than any other country in the world. I mean, you can get a loan here without being the son of a duke or something. And so this is a very interesting opportunity for us, and we're so proud to be of service to these people who've given us such great service.
Once again, if you have a question or comment, it's 866-801-8255. 866-801-8255. I know somebody out there that's listening right now is not having a business that's doing successful. And one of the things you talk about in your book is how you handle mistakes the right way that can save essential business relationships.
Yes, we call that making mistakes right. And it's not just R-I-G-H-T, it's also W-R-I-T-E. You have to write down the mistake and what you have to do to correct it so it doesn't happen again. That's the real goal, isn't it? Is to correct the mistake and make sure it doesn't happen again. So first of all, you have to admit it. You don't hide it. You don't run away. And then you look to see what policies, procedures, checklists, contracts, what has to be changed to make sure that this mistake doesn't happen again. So many people are afraid of making mistakes, and I really think that that's a bad attitude, because in order to change, in order to grow, we are going to make mistakes. That's a given. So don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. And when you do, when you're starting a small business, it's important that you keep your business in a tight, small area that you can control, because you make a lot of mistakes, particularly in the beginning, until you get your policies and procedures right. And if you make them in a smaller area that you can control, you can go in there, correct the mistake, and handle the problem, whereas if you're spread out too far, the mistake is going to have too large an implication before you have a chance to correct it. So that would be my advice to a small business operator, to start small and write down all the procedures to make sure the mistake does not happen again. Don't be afraid of it.
And the other thing is you learn who you can work with and who you can't, because not everybody is going to be that good partner in a relationship either.
Exactly. And I'm talking about working with people not only within your own company, but all the people you work with down the line. When you start looking at your distribution system, you'll be working with a lot of different people in a lot of different types of businesses. And you need to understand their job and understand how much you have to rely on them and how you can make it easier for them, how you can communicate in the best way to make it possible for them to do the job that you are relying on them to do.
All right. We've got a call. We've got Ron from Florida. Let's take his call. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, hi. I'm Ron from Florida. I got a question. I understand what your guests are saying as far as distributing a product and making sure that it's getting in front of the consumers. I'm involved with a project that's an online information type business. We're doing news and interviews and that type of thing. It's aimed at the African-American community. We talk politics and local events, even some national stuff. However, the thing I'm wondering about is how do we apply what you're saying as far as, like, the wine distribution? How do we apply that to what we're trying to do on the Internet as far as trying to find a way to get our product that we're producing in front of customers?
Well, I'll address that if you might. First of all, you have to consider your community. You know, what's important to your community? Certainly, the African-American community is very concerned about sickle cell anemia, which is endemic to their race. This is a cause that you can really embrace. One of the things we did at Barefoot was, you know, we used social networking. Before there were social networks, we actually used the organization of the cause that we supported as the hub, as the social network. And so there are things that you can ask organizations that you're supporting to do that cost them nothing. Like, they can plug your services on their site. They can put what you're doing in their newsletter. all of a sudden, the people who are members of that organization become aware of your services. And they are more likely to choose your services because you support them. Okay. And the way that you can support them is by taking their message and putting it out to your networks and contributing to their blogs and being part of their organization. In other words, just become a member.
Okay. And just use the networking.
Use their network, you bet. Their network already exists.
Right. Okay. All right, that makes sense. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron, for your call. And you know, it's just like taking the small things that make such a big difference nowadays.
Absolutely. I think what people need to do when they're in business is don't look at your customer as a potential to buy your mercantile product or service. Look at your customer and say, what is this person interested in that is beyond my mercantile product or service? And you'll find that there are things that are very important to these customers. It's much broader than any mercantile interest. It has to do with things like life and, health and human rights, and get behind those causes. I know one of the things that we did was we came out on the side of conservation at a time when they thought, oh, that's a hippie movement. Those are a bunch of radical, tree-hugging liberals. They're stopping progress. And then it turned out that what they were trying to save was the very reason why the property values were high.
Yeah, very true.
Because people wanted to live in a beautiful environment, of course. So you have to take sides, and you'll come out on the right side of history, and so will your product.
Every time. Well, I once again, great chatting with both of you. And it's something, folks, that's almost a no-brainer, and you do not have to spend millions to do it. You just have to connect, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Get out there and talk to people. Shake hands and find out what they're interested in. And be a part of your community. Be a real contributing factor to the causes that you believe in, and your product will just come along naturally and be successful.
And go to the barefootwinefounders.com website for more tips like this and more advice.
All right. That's what I was going to say. Once again, many thanks to Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan of Barefoot Winery, co-founders. Their latest book, again, is The Barefoot Spirit. And you can find out all, plus lots of other information, at their website, barefootwinefounders.com. Thanks, guys. Safe travels, and hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Maggie.
Thank you, okay. Maggie. It's been a thrill.
All right. Thanks also to Rashawn Ivey, senior producer of SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. You can follow Ivey on Twitter at Rashawn Ivey. Once again, that's at Rashawn Ivey. And New York Times bestselling author Daniel Silva. And also a many thanks to Dr. Richard Norton. I'll have contact information for all posted on my Facebook page, Maggie Linton Show. Tomorrow, have you made plans for a comfortable retirement? Well, if not, then there's no time like the present. Raul Garuda, an independent financial planning advisor, will share tips. Then it's a look at people who have taken their obsessive compulsions and made it into a career and made a great America. Steve Jobs and Estee Lauder, to name just a couple. The Korean War ended 60 years ago on July 27th. Colonel David Clark, director of the 60th Anniversary Commemoration Committee, will talk about activities planned for next week and also in August. And we'll wrap up things with some fun. For all of you listeners, have a deck of cards with you when you tune in tomorrow. Corporate magician George Bradley will help you kick off the weekend with wonderment and smiles. He's phenomenal. Many thanks to my producer, Adele Coleman-Williams, and also to Josh Glasscock. So until next time, seek peace and spread lots of love. I'm Maggie Linton.